We'll begin 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Read along with me, if you do not mind. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Tonight I want to share a phrase with you that I want you to think about as you go out this week. And that phrase is called the difference. Tonight I know that I am not the same person that I used to be. When I examine my heart and my life, I see that there's been a difference made inside of me. When I look at what God has forgiven me for, I see a difference in my life. When I look at all the things that I could have done one way, but God led me through to do it another way, I see a difference inside of me. Church, there is something that is living and breathing in your life that is with you each and every day that you live. And it is something that causes you to be a different person than the world. It separates you to be something good. It separates you to be something happy. It separates you to be something with some life in you. So those that are alive and remain here until the coming of the Lord, I want to remind you that you are different, that you have something that's inside of you that separates you from every normal popular thing. You can try to fit in and you never will, because no matter what you do, good will follow those that will serve the Lord. And I just have to praise him for the difference that he's made in my life. I'm not the same as I once was, and all the sins of my life have been wiped away, washed away and sent into the sea of forgetfulness. When people see me today, they don't just know that I went to church and that I go full time, but they see the difference. They see something inside of you that knows in their heart that there's something going on in the depths of your spirit. Now, how do we recognize it? Every time that we see God, he gives us direction. When we receive this direction and follow it, we will walk into things which are good. There is nothing that God has ever put in this earth that wasn't good. Sometimes it's hard to find the good in things, but there is good in it. And the part that makes you different than anybody else that's going after the same job, that's going after the same increase in finance, that's going after the same peace for their family, same peace in their marriage, the difference within you that makes you different is the Holy Spirit of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ. No matter what the circumstances look like, you still have something within you that's different than your foe. When no matter what's going on in your life, you can still look back and see something that changed from where you were to where you are now. And that's what I have to praise him for tonight. I've came a long way, or what it feels like, and through many trials. But you know, the only thing that has stayed as a constant for me is the presence of God. When I had money, God was there. But when I didn't have it, he was still there. When I felt great in body, surely the Lord was with me as I praised him. And in times when I was low in sickness, he was still right there. Times when church services are wonderful and easy to get in like tonight, and other times when you feel like you're all alone, and God is surely right there. If you're wondering what it's going to take for you to break through in some situations you're dealing with, you have got to recognize what makes you different. What makes you different from the world is the faith to believe in something cannot see, as though it has already come to pass. When I believe and trust that God will move and take care of my circumstances, I'm able to go in my workplace with the difference. I'm able to witness to somebody with the difference. Do all the good that you want to everybody in this world, but if you don't have that difference in you, then they will not see Christ. We can be Christ-like, but we cannot be Christ. For if we could have been Christ, we could have laid down our life for the world and bore the iniquity of it all. But the best that we can ever do is to be like Him. And the way that we are like Him is when we let Him live inside of us. You can't act like it. You can't fake it. You can't act your way through it. It's not something that you can just wing it and think that everybody's going to believe it. When people see Jesus, they know it's Jesus. When they see Jesus in you, you don't have to try to put on or pretend. It's something that comes naturally. For when it's dwelling in you in a natural state, everybody can bear witness to that which lives in you. So what makes you different? Jesus makes you different. What is it that separates you from the darkness? The light of God's Word. The truth of His Word. We live by His Word. Jesus became the Word. And so when we are Christ-like, we are the Word. We are an ambassador of the Word. We bring through our lifestyle the Word of God to life. It's more than just a book. It's more than just words on the page. Through our lifestyle, through the decisions that we make and what we go through as individuals, we'll show up as Christ-like if we're following the will of God. So many people are not recognizing the difference. If we could see what made us different from when we were in sin to when we were saved from sin, then we would not be in despair. Even when despair is looming around you. We're talking about something deep here tonight. I'm talking about when frustration, yelling, screaming is all around you. People cussing. People talking about the world's garbage and picking it back up out of the trash can and throwing it back out for another word. When you are surrounded by all of this talk and all this negativity, you've got to look inside at the difference. You've got to see what makes you different. When people are bickering at you and when they complain at you and when they make you feel less of yourself and when they don't pick you up like you expect, you've got to look inside and you've got to know what makes you different. What can separate us from the love of God tonight, church? There's nothing. There's nothing. There is not a thing in this world that can keep me from knowing that I'm different. How am I made different? By the love of God. It's God's love that forgave me. And it's the love of God that's going to save this world. We don't have enough money to save them anymore. We're in $16-17 trillion in debt, so we're not going to save people with money. We don't have enough to save the whole world with money. But let me tell you what you have that can save the world. It's the difference. It's what you have inside of you. It's how you live your life every single day. And let me tell you, you might not think you're making much of an impact, but you're making more of a difference. Then you know, I have a few nieces and a nephew now, and if I didn't be positive and happy and create an environment for them to where they can enjoy life when they're around me, then they wouldn't see me as someone that loves them. And in the same way, we're talking about a lost and dying world that's hooked on drugs. They're hooked on popularity. They're buying things they can't afford to try to prove something to people. They're in debt. They're unhappy. They're changing their values and beliefs that they were raised up in. Trying to find a place in this world. But there will be no place where they can lay their head. There is no refuge that people can find when they're in that indifferent state. What people like that are really looking for is something that's different than what they are. So what do we have that we're showing people? That they know that there is something that can help them. 80% of probably all the people I met in my life, and we're all in this bunch, 80% of the time when you talk to people that attend church are more unhappy than people living in the world. And I would like to attribute it to blame and say that it's because of this I'm unhappy. But as a Christian, we take on a different foe. We have different battles to fight. There are spiritual warfares that must be waged. And what do we have that we can use to win? Nothing. We can't do anything. I can't open my mouth and speak unless God leads me. I can't sing a song and worship unless God is with me. We fight a battle, church, that if you're not too careful, you'll think that it's because of people that you're sitting down. You'll think it's because of people that you're unhappy. But I'm telling you, there's nobody that we know in this earth that has that kind of power and dominion over you. Looks can be deceiving and words can be deceiving too. But I'm here to tell you that a devil can. He works through people. He uses people. And I don't know if this is something that God showed me a long time ago, but when people started coming against me and I'd pray for them, you know what he would reveal to me? He would reveal to me that person in a vision, and I would see them with the love of God on them. And I would see them changed, and I would see them delivered. And I would say, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? And then I learned that I'm not fighting against the person, because God wants everyone to be saved. But we're fighting a battle that goes way beyond just a personality difference. We're all different. If we sat down at the same table and tried to reason our politics and our ideals and our opinions, we'd find a difference somewhere. But that's not the difference that saves the world. It's not the difference that finds your joy. It's not the difference that keeps us staying as a constant to people. I am happy to say that I try to do all that I can to serve others. That's what God has called me to do. I find a greater blessing in trying to help you than to even get for myself. But there are times when you are a servant that you get tired, that you get cold, that you lose your purpose and what you're called to do. And that's who I'm talking to tonight. It's not that I'm saying that you're not able to do, and you're more than capable of doing all things through Christ. But I don't want you to stay in this cold place where the devil's trying to surround you with an environment that you think that you just have to settle for. You've got to learn that by the Spirit of God, you have authority. The anointing that dwells in you is a confirmation of authority. When the anointing was present, Jesus would begin to tell them to command these things to flee, to speak to the mountain and tell it to be thou removed, to speak to the demons and to call them out. When the anointing of God is present, it is a confirmation of authority. Somebody needs to write that down in their spirit on paper and take it out of here with you. If you're feeling the presence of God, that is the moment in time where you have the liberty and freedom to speak unto the enemy that is in somebody, and not just the person, but to the enemy that works through them, that cannot stay there, that it must flee in the name of Jesus. There is nothing that I've ever dealt with in my life that if I didn't take authority over it, that God didn't move in it. There's not been an enemy that I've ever had that didn't like me, that when I prayed, that God didn't work it out. We may have still disagreed, but we were able to eat at the same table, being at peace. The promise of the word says that he'll have your enemies to be at peace with you. The promise of his word leads us to a place where we can pray for them and say, bless those. Bless mine enemies. Bless those that despitefully use me. Bless those that hurt me. To bless those that hurt you is being Christ-like. He forgave a people who was hanging them on the cross. He forgave a people that screamed, crucify him. Some of them, I'm sure, were probably following along the way with him and then changed to the world's opinion. You have to know that you're different before you'll ever take action. You have to realize that you've been changed before you'll be confident. It's hard to do anything unless you're confident. We lack a lot of confidence in the very facts of the things we know that make us confident. If you are saved, you hear this. My whole ministry is founded on this one principle. If you are saved, then you are forgiven. And if you are forgiven, then you are not defined by who you used to be. So I can preach with confidence because I'm not who I was. I'm different. There's been a difference made in me. Number two, when you start out on your Christian walk, there will be battles ahead of you. It is a guarantee. There will be tragedy. There will be things that come suddenly. There will be things that attack your mind, your heart, and your body. And when you are surrounded with this foe, do not try to blame it on that which you see. But you must believe by faith in the things that are not, as though they are. That is that second step. That is the first thing that God will test when you are saved, is your faith. Number three, once you have came through some things and you have testimonies, he then begins to increase the anointing in your life. That increase of the anointing is a confirmation of authority. You then go from just being able to barely pray for you to laying on of hands and the sick being healed and those that are bound being delivered, those that are demon possessed being set free. When you begin to work in that kind of anointing, I'm here to remind you, you will be attacked continually. Continually. That's why some are able to come to church and it just seems like they're always okay, because they're not embracing the anointing of God. They don't want to fight that fight. But they're not as blessed as they could be either. There are blessings that are greater for those that will suffer the cost. The Bible talks about it like this, that there's no man that ever sits down and builds a house without counting the cost. Everybody has a chance to evaluate when they want to go deeper in God. But then the question comes, are we willing to pay the price? A long time ago, I made up my mind and I said, God, I want to help people. I want to do things for you, Lord. And he took our family ministry that we had, and he gave us a new vision and a new direction. And we're going out and doing more than we ever did when we just were singers. And we're reaching a demographic on the internet that we've never reached before. And we're reaching people through radio and going out and doing things that we've never done before. But I'm here to tell you that every day I face a battle from Satan himself. And he tries to come and attack me, because the more that you become like Christ, the more that you become a loving shoulder for somebody, the more that you become a helping hand for somebody, Satan will try to destroy you. He'll try to destroy your home. He'll try to destroy the church you go to. He'll try to break down your car, run you out of gas, give you a flat tire, anything to try to keep you from going forward in that proclamation with God. I face battles all the time. But every single time I see a hand go up in the air and joy come forth, I know that it's worth it. Amen. Every time I see somebody make a decision that they never had and put their foot out there when they're vulnerable, yeah, and to go on anyway, then I know that it's worth it. Yeah. Every silent night that I ever go home and battle with my thoughts after preaching my heart out, but somebody lets me know that that's what they needed, then I know that it's worth it. I know that every deed that I do for God is not even for me, but it's for the edification of the body of Christ. You might think that I'm getting something great out of this, but the only thing I'm getting is a persecution ahead of me next week. But I know that if I'll endure that persecution, my blessing will come forth from it. Obedience is not even just about you, but it's about being Christ-like, so that somebody can be picked up and edified, lifted up to where they can live life and be able to fight the enemy. Amen. Sometimes I think we've missed it when we try to preach what obedience means. Jesus never obeyed what he was to do just for Jesus. Jesus didn't lay his hands upon the sick and then recover just for him. He didn't go unto the leper when all said, don't go to them, they're unclean. He didn't do it for him. But there are those eyes that were out there that were looking, seeing what was going on. There were religious And yes, there are some religious people that still need to be saved. There are religious that were staring in the midst of where Jesus was, that were being convicted in their heart and just couldn't find the reasons to try to convict him. I'm telling you right now, there are people that are watching your ministry. They're watching your life. They're watching you at home when you're in your PJs and you're cranky in the morning. They're watching you when you say that one thing you wish you shouldn't have said. They see what's going on with you. And obedience goes much further than being in here. I would say that 10% of my ministry is done right here. Less than 10% is done right here. Where's the rest of it? Anywhere you go, everywhere you dwell, that is where your ministry is. This place is not to condemn you. This place is not just to always fill you up, but this is a place where when one is weak, that those that are strong will bear it. 90% of anything that I do to reach out to people is not done in here. What do? You encourage people that are down. You offer to pray for those that want prayer. You encourage people even when you're discouraged. You push past your comfort zones. And you let people see a difference in you. Because those that are still alive, if God wanted to come for his people today, he could take us all out, put us all down, lay us all dead, and take us all the same way. But there's a reason that there are still those that remain versus those that are asleep. Because there's still a work to be done for those that are alive. Those that are alive, if it were not meant for us to live, then our earth as we know it would begin to go into destruction. That as long as there's another sunny day and another morning I wake up, then I know that there's somebody that needs me. There's somebody that needs you. Whether it's the one that you lay down next to at night, whether it's somebody you call every now and then, they need to see that you are alive and they need to see a difference inside of you. If they can see that difference inside of you, you won't have to beg them to go to church. You won't have to reason with them to get them there. Won't have to advertise and go to great lengths to prove that God is great. The only advertising that God ever had to do back in the day when there was no TVs and there was no radio and there were no posters or printing press was testimony. That was how that the ministry was spread, through the word of your testimony. That was the two founding foundations, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That was God's advertising. He used his people to get that word out. But we have grown silent. We put signs and ads and stuff and just want people to know that God is there. But they are more compelled by what you have than any advertising. They're more compelled by that than a hot dog, piece of pizza, present that you give them. So they're more compelled by that which lives in you than that which is in the world. Because he said, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. So I'm glad for a difference that God has made in me. When you're going through your battles, you tell that devil, I'm different. You look at him and tell him, I'm different. I'm not as though I was. I'm not like I used to be. You may have gotten me down with that before, but you're not pulling me down with that anymore. You may have got me with that same old word, same old buttons you pushed, but I'm a different person now. The devil tries to push those buttons that used to work back then, and I say, I don't do drugs anymore, devil. I'm clean and sober for 7.5 years, devil. You're not going to pull me down with the same devices that you used to have in my life. And when the devil tries to come and make me angry, I tell him that button don't work because I'm different. I'm separated. I'm liberated. I'm made new. I'm free by Christ Jesus. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I am made new. I am a new creature. Behold, all things are what? They're dead. Those things that defined you, they're dead. They no longer let people know of who you are. But there's something different inside of you. I believe it was Paul recognized this difference. He said, I come to you knowing nothing except the difference except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I know. And that's all that we have to have. We have to work to pay the bills so that we can feed ourselves and enjoy our TVs and cable. But let me tell you, you don't have to have everything that you think you need. What you need to always remember is what you have inside of you. It's the best advertising you can ever do of how great God is. It's the best love that you'll be able to give anybody. You just try it sometime. You just look at somebody that's down, and you pray to yourself, and you go and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And come back to me and tell me if that did not help them in some way. Go by and obey God and tell somebody that you were thinking about them and that you wanted to come by and tell them that God loves them. And tell me if you don't see a difference in their countenance. Write somebody, last year, God showed, I'll share this, it's kind of silly, but the Lord showed me last year around the Christmas season, I wrote as many Christmas letters to people that God put in my mind to write to. I wrote it, I put it, I stamped it, I sent it. I wrote like 45 of them. I sent them out to everybody that God laid it on my heart to. I only got like 3 or 4 back, but those responses let me know that it was worth it and it was led by God to do it. Some people would have counted that to be silly. Oh, Jared, nobody writes handwritten sentiments anymore. Why don't you just send them an email or send them that funny elf yourself video and put their picture on it? They'll get a kick out of that instead. But there is something about being Christ-like and doing something that goes against you and letting people see the difference inside of your life. If you want to be the same old thing, then just come in and exist. Just come in and let the service just go. Just let it be, or you can be different. I challenge you, church, to remember what makes you different. I challenge you to remember what you have been brought out of, because where you're going is far greater than where you've been. It's just like that song we were singing tonight. Do you remember just what I brought you from? Take a look behind you and see just how far you've come. There's never been a time that God has forsaken me. Now, some of you may take never to be a light word, but never is a strong word in my dictionary. I'm telling you, God has never forsaken me. Never. Might have felt like it sometimes, or I might not have seen Him sometimes, but He has never forsaken me. And if you will continue to believe in your heart by faith, then you will receive what you desire, and God will move on your behalf. But you must show Him that you are like Christ and different from the world. That it's called righteousness. And active righteousness is holiness. The decisions you make to be different. The things that God shows you to change, to make you different. When I was in high school, I had hair probably down to the middle of my back. And any facial hair I could get on my face, I wore it. And I wore black clothes, black jeans, black combat boots. So back when the chains used to be pretty cool to hang down with your wallet and they dragged down a couple feet down, I wore that. I listened to some of the most terrible music. And I was proud to appall people, just offend them, that I just loved to do that. It was just my thing to do. And made a lot of wrong decisions and ended up becoming one of those peer pressure people that pushed others into decisions they didn't need to make. I used to be quite different than the person you see standing before you now. Had I come in with that same outfit on and tried to deliver the gospel to you, I can't guarantee that all of you would even stay to hear it, let alone pay attention or receive a single word of it. So I say that to say this. When God changes something in you, it will show on you. You will be different. And if you're not recognizing and seeing a difference as much as you could, that's where prayer life comes in. That's where reading the Bible comes in. If you're looking for books to begin to read, I encourage you to start in the New Testament. It is a nice gateway into understanding the Word. Start with the 4 Gospels of the New Testament. Read the first 4 books. And when you get through with that, begin to read in Ephesians and Philippians and begin to understand the message that Paul was giving into those that were existing then. But you've got to get into the Word to grow. If you want to continue and be different and not fall to the world, you have to use what God has given you to do. You must pray. You must read. And you must deny yourself through fasting. There are things that we can do to stay as a constant. Because what I don't want to happen is, God, save me. for nothing. He didn't redeem me for me to be nothing. It is not a life of do's and don'ts, but it's a life of love. He didn't raise me to be nothing. He didn't save me to be nothing. He changed me to be something. If he saved you, then you are not nothing. You are something. You are called. You are chosen. You are set apart. You are set aside. You are somebody in Christ Jesus. You are something to God. You might not be something to people. People may ignore you, but you are something to Jesus. I recognize that when I lost it all and had no friends, no possessions, nothing, and that I was still something to God, even when I was nothing to the world. You can be on the flat of your back, and maybe you've not been there, but I'm telling you, it's a very unpleasant situation to be in, to actually recognize and know that nobody cares. But to be in a place like that, you have to know when he saves you how much that he loved you to pick you up out of where you were at. If we're not too careful, God will begin to let us have some circumstances in our life where we will be tested to see if we believe. And I've had some of those. Lost half our income for about a year. Had to watch my wife be sick and have to wake up every day and wonder if she was going to have another seizure. Wondering what was going to happen, wondering how we were going to afford everything. God really gave me an opportunity through that trial to know that I'm different. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I found those that are the strongest in God have been through something that they know that God is real. If you've been through something in your life, it wasn't for nothing. It's for a reason. It's for a purpose, and it makes you stronger, and it makes you different. If I tried to go back to the person I used to be, I would have no place. Where else would I go? What else will I do? There is nothing for me there. Why do we dwell in depression when there is nothing for us there? Why do we dwell in anger when there is no prosperous thing that will come from being mad? Why do we let the devil torment our minds when we don't have to settle to be tormented? He gave us power and authority. Even Samson, who was bound, he asked God, "Lord, just give me strength one more time. God, just let me get through this thing one more time." And if you've ever been in a low place, you're going to have to say, "God, give me strength. Man, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, just give me strength this one last time. Prove to me, Lord." And as you come through these things, you'll know that you're different. By the love of God, you're different. By his grace, you walk. By his peace, you have clarity. By his wisdom, you gain understanding. By his virtues, you're able to fight. I'm talking about long-suffering and patience and meekness, charity. Those are the things that makes you different. When God saved you, he didn't just leave you there. He clothed you. He made you righteous. By the forgiveness of your sins, he clothed you. And by the deliverance of the things you used to be from your mind, and it being delivered and cast into the sea of forgetfulness, you are then given sound mind and understanding. You then know what they called back then, the way. For them to know the way and choose not to fall therein to it, to them it's their destruction. I just dare you to be different, church. I dare you to be different. I dare you to defy the enemy and tell him you're not who you used to be. I dare you to take that next step of faith. I dare you to testify. I'm telling you, if you just use what God gave you, you wouldn't feel like you had to ask for more. If you just use and give what God has blessed you with, you wouldn't be begging for more. In fact, we'd learn to then be content with such as you have. That's talking about being happy with what God's blessed you with. That doesn't mean you never ask for another thing. That's just God's way of telling us you need to be thankful for what you do have. Thankfulness is the gateway to praise. And praise is the gateway into even entering into the holies of holies. You are different. You are made new. You are a new creature. You are not what you used to be. And never let anybody ever tell you that you're like the person you once was. You walk with your head held high. And you tell everybody loud and proud that Jesus Christ saved my life. And I am happy. Can somebody say that tonight, that they're happy in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap of praise.